Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today in the cozy confines of Studio B is Ryan Salva.
What's up,
Ryan?
Buddy? How's it going, my friend?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Dude, I'm super pumped.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, for those who may not know you, program manager on the Cordova tooling, the Taco team.
Yeah, the Taco team. Tools for Apache Cordova, and actually really all JavaScript mobile development. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in something like React Native, or you're interested in native script, or whatever it is that the community comes up with to bring JavaScript into mobile devices, really that's where my team plays.
So should we say Taco, or should we say Tools for Apache Cordova? Is Taco kind of like what the cool kids
you know
say?
What?
Like dub?
Yeah, it's with the dubs, buddy. like Tools for Apache Cordova is the official name.
Yeah.
Taco
it doesn't
is
roll off the tongue
just,
as quickly.
Yeah, it's faster, right. It's funner, it's, you know, the cool kids, like you said.
Cool. All right.
If you're wearing, I don't know, ripped up jeans and leather jackets and I don't know, whatever. I'm wearing leather jackets today.
I don't have ripped
you're up ripped
jeans
up, Your
today,
jeans are
no.
looking all right. Yeah, yeah. But,
All right. So Taco is just a way of abbreviating. It's just an abbreviation.
It's the same technology. It's the same thing. All the same thing. Taco just makes for a better sticker.
Okay. And it's cooler.
Yeah.
And are there tacos involved?
Dude, actually, when any time that we have a major release, it's Taco Day, and we roll out Mexican food and all
excellent.
That kind of stuff.
Okay.
So little team morale booster, and but really our official mascot, if you will, today, in keeping with the long tradition of robots in Apache Cordova and PhoneGap, is a robot. So he's our Taco Bot.
Taco Bot.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. So there are. Constantly new things going on. You guys are constantly adding to the tool set, improving the tool set.
We actually, we are, as far as release cycle goes, we try to release a new update every sprint. Mm. So our team is on 3-week sprints. That means that you actually, those people who are using the Visual Studio IDE tools for Apache Cordova, they just got update 6.
Another
one, knocking them out of the park.
Does or does not require that I exit Visual Studio and come back in?
That one does not require that.
That one does not.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, you just say update.
Some of the updates do.
Yeah, it just depends upon whether or not it's touching any kind of the core DLLs. Ours, the way that Visual Studio is structured these days, and this is probably a little bit of. Inside baseball, is that the phrase? I don't know. Inside ball, whatever.
Yeah.
And little down and dirty in the details. We're able to release these things called IOOBs. OOB is OOB. It stands for out of band. I cannot for the life of me remember what the
box.
Out of box? I think it's out of band, actually.
Out of band. Okay.
Out of band, yeah. But anyways, those allow us to sort of deliver updates really quickly, really easily. And so, especially with a tool chain like Cordova, where you've got NPM releasing at its own cadence, Node releasing at its own cadence, iOS releasing at its own cadence, Gradle and the Android SDK releasing at the road cadence. There's a lot of different moving parts there that, believe it or not, we don't control the release cycle for all of those things.
Right.
I mean, glory be. But because we have these out-of-band releases, we can pretty quickly keep up to date with the entire tool chain.
Mm-hmm.
And so this latest update that just came out, I don't know, about a week or so ago, supports Cordova 6.0, which is a kind of a new Cordova release, not the tools for Apache Cordova, but a Cordova release that just came out about 2 weeks ago. So Visual Studio is keeping up with the framework, the platform that we support within about a week after each release, which is super cool, right? That means that anytime you want to upgrade your project, in this case, Cordova 6.0 brings support for Android Marshmallow and the most recent iOS release, which supports the new accelerated WK WebView. WK is for WebKit. Yeah. right? The cool thing about that one is that it introduces JIT compilation or JIT compression for JavaScript, and so it accelerates really to all of your app to give you a little bit better frames per second, a little bit better performance kind of top to bottom for an iOS implementation. Right. So, cool stuff.
Cool. Yeah. And so just to finish up on that, there's
yeah.
a lot of thought being given to how updates are done in Visual Studio, particularly what we can do in the next release. There was, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, there were 4 updates that came out that day, and every one of them required that you close Visual Studio. So you had to open Visual Studio, ask for the update, download, run the setup, go back to Visual Studio, close it, finish the setup, go back in to select the next one. So it's kind of a known issue.
yeah, it is a known issue.
Of course, you want them all, right? You want the
updates.
You
want all the goodness. You want the updates.
There's probably ways to improve
it. But there's
10
minutes out of your day that you can't ever get back, right?
Exactly.
And so actually, the team is working to try to improve that for the next release.
Right.
There's an enormous amount of engineering effort going into trying to figure out how we can improve setup, how we can improve updates, how we can lighten the load, both from a initial installation standpoint and from an ongoing updates perspective.
Yeah.
Because we know you'd rather be coding than, you know, hitting restart and entering your password
so
fourth time.
I think there'll be more to say on that at build, and then I'll try to do an episode right after that where we talk about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
In the meantime.
Yeah, let's talk about
more
what we
tacos.
Got today. More tacos.
More tacos.
More tacos. Salsa and all the above. So yeah, there's another update that we had recently that actually this isn't an update. This is something brand new. So about 3 weeks ago at PhoneGap Day, which is kind of like the pilgrimage to Mecca for Cordova developers, if you will, the annual pilgrimage.
And it's only a day.
It's actually, it's a bit of a misnomer. It's been expanded to 2 days.
Okay.
But I don't know, brand guidelines called for us to continue the to the charade and call it a single day.
Okay.
But this year, Microsoft announced that we now have the tools for Apache Cordova in VS Code as well.
Yes.
Right? So VS Code, like, it's actually already gaining a huge amount of traction.
That is very, very exciting because you could, you have been able to open Cordova projects in VS Code.
You could always open them up in
right.
VS Code.
And so you could. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a tailored experience. It kind of felt like, yeah, you can do this, but
well, but it was the exact same experience that you would get opening it up in Sublime or Text Wrangler or Vim or whatever your text editor of choice is.
Right.
And kind of what we see, what I see, is an opportunity to take tools that web developers have traditionally used for development, you know, nice, slim, lightweight text editors.
Right.
Those are great, but those are tools that have been built for web development.
Right.
Cordova development allows you to leverage a lot of those same skills, workflows, processes, but it's also a different kind of development. Like, Cordova development, in the end, is development for a mobile application.
Yep.
And so there are some idiosyncrasies, some nuances about Cordova development that means that, you know what, it would be really nice to have a set of tools that are built specifically for Cordova development.
Yep.
And so we saw an opportunity there to take all the goodness of VS Code and say, you know what, let's layer on top of that and bring in some features that are specific to Cordova development and really kind of help developers become more productive, you know, feel like they're sitting in a custom leather recliner of development tools, right?
There you go.
Yeah. So I can show it to you.
Yeah,
you
let's see it.
All right, let's do it. We got to wake up the old machine here. No one look at my password. All right.
There we go.
Here. So I'm here on my Mac machine, really just to demonstrate that what we all already know, which is that VS Code works with Mac and with Linux and on Windows.
Yep.
In this particular case, I happen to be running on the Mac side of things, so we'll go with that. I'm in a an htdocs folder in MAMP, but that's just out of habit. That's where I kind of keep all my playground projects. And I'm going to do a taco create. I happen to name all of my projects after Greek gods, so we're gonna be powerful today. Call this one Zeus. All right. So in this particular case, I just said Taco create Zeus. It's just creating a project for me. At the moment, it's downloading all the assets that it needs from NPM. This is downloading Cordova, downloading the default template, and all that good kind of stuff. It'll give me a couple of warnings here. That's okay. That's just the version of Node that I happen to have installed here. All right, cool. So we got our project created. I'm going to go ahead and cd into the directory. Now I'm going to taco platform add iOS, because you got to add the supported platforms to it. In this particular case, I could also say taco platform add, I'll say Android.
Can you comma separate those or say all? Do you have to
it's
do...
a serial operation. Yeah. It's just kind of one at a time. Right. Fortunately, you only have to do it once for each project, and there's not that many platforms to add. One of the cool things here is that I can now also say, you know what? If I want to build for Android, I probably need to actually get all the prereqs from my command line. So I need the Android SDK, and I need the emulator, and I need all that good kind of stuff. So here, I can just say taco install rex Android, right? And now it's going to perform a check, say, hey, do I need to do all this stuff? Oh, hey, good thing, I already installed all of them, right?
All right.
But if I had not installed the Android SDK, the appropriate versions of Gradle, and all that good kind of stuff, it would go out, get it for me, download it, install it, configure it, just like Visual Studio does in the IDE.
Yep.
Right? Okay, but we're going to work with iOS today. So let's do this. Let's just say code dot. We're going to open up Visual Studio Code here. All right, we got the project open. And this is a normal Cordova project, tools for Apache Cordova. When I invoke Taco, I'm just invoking Cordova in the end. And let's see here. We've got a couple of plugins that are already in there by default, because the whitelist plugin is required for every version of Cordova after, I want to say, 4.7 or something like that. The whitelist plugin was introduced when Android added in some additional security features to help really kind of lock down Cordova so that you couldn't get man-in-the-middle attacks or cross-site scripting, that kind of thing. So the whitelist plugin is your security blanket, if that makes sense. But let's add in a couple of other plugins.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back to my terminal. Taco plugin add, let's see here, Cordova plugin device. All right, so here I'm just going down, I'm grabbing a plugin. In this particular case, I grabbed the device plugin. The device plugin tells you, basically gives you diagnostic information about which device you're running on. But let's show that this works with other CLIs as well. So now I'm gonna say Ionic plugin. Add Cordova plugin, we'll say camera. Let's add the camera plugin.
Me personally, I look at that and I say, right click,
what
manage
is that guy
packages.
Doing? Yeah, but you know what?
I
JavaScript developers,
I understand.
Are comfortable
I totally understand. And for people who, I mean, they're folks who are like big fat IDEs that do everything for you.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
There are people that never want that, they want lean text editors this.
Yeah.
I understand. I think it's great.
It's just a different way of looking
look
at the
it
world.
And I just, I'm a big fat IDE kind of guy.
And you know, and the great thing is you being a guy who loves big fat IDEs, you can go open up Visual Studio and you go to the plugin, the config designer, hit the install button, and you never have to look at any of this command line. But
I do like in the JSON files where you actually start typing, you get IntelliSense on those, so you don't literally have to necessarily go do a dialogue. So I could see doing it that way.
That way feels a little bit more natural to you. Well, in this project that we just created, we could take this right now and we can open it up in Visual Studio it works beautifully. So if you've got a team that has a diverse set of tastes and preferences, you got maybe a designer who prefers to work on a Mac, and you've got a development team that prefers to work on instead of Visual Studio, you can share the
That's
exact
the cool
same
thing
project
about it. It's just
back
the
and forth.
Single code base.
Single
it's
code base.
A single project can be opened on multiple machines and multiple environments.
Yep.
All
right, so we're going to do one more just to show a diversity of CLIs here. So now we're also going to say Cordova plugin add Cordova plugin, let's say file this time. Now, while that's installing that plugin, I want to call your attention to what's sitting behind it. Notice that this plugins directory here, all those got added in, mm-hmm. and also right here in the .vs code directory, you'll see that we dynamically acquired mm-hmm. d.ts files for each one of those plugins that we added in. So this is one of those pieces that I said is really customized to make it a Cordova development environment right. rather than merely a web development environment.
Yeah.
What we're doing here is we're bringing in those d.ts files dynamically for every plugin mm-hmm. added to your project so that we can provide really sweet IntelliSense for Cordova plugins. Because yep. in Cordova, like, fundamentally, Cordova is really a build tool when it comes down to it. Cordova is a packaging tool mm-hmm. that translates all of your code into an iOS package, an Android APK, Windows package as well. Mm-hmm. And then it provides a thin runtime to allow you to communicate between the web view and the native code on the other side.
Right.
But a lot of the real action from a developer's standpoint comes from invoking those native APIs from within the web view. And invoking those native APIs, like, it often comes that down to, like, you just don't remember what the syntax was right. or what the particular method call was. And so having IntelliSense really saves you from having to go to the documentation,
yep.
Saves you from maybe making a silly typo that would otherwise, like, you know, you're pulling your hair out because you can't figure out what the right. X is wrong with your project. So here, let's just actually show it in action. I'm going to go to my www folder here. And in our index.js, I'm just going to show exactly what's happening here. So one of the ones that we invoked was the camera plugin. Mm-hmm. So I'll say navigator. There we go. Navigator.camera. OK, you can see now that I'm starting to
yeah.
get in IntelliSense for my actual plugin. So camera.getPicture. You know, and we'll have a success callback. We'll have a failure callback. OK, these are probably not the best name functions, but that's OK. And then we have options. Now, I don't know about you, but like, when you get to the options, that's actually where I, like, my brain completely yeah. breaks down and can't remember what was going on. So here, now we can start to get options. Like, let's say that we want to have our destination type, which, destination type, that works. That lets us know whether or not it's going to be a URL that we get back or a data stream that we get back or something like that. So now I can start to say camera.destination type. I don't remember all of these things, but now it actually kind of gives me the options so that I don't have to stuff my memory with all of these tiny little yeah. nuggets of information that I'm only going to use once in a blue moon, right? I can get it for other ones like quality, right? It'll actually tell me what the range is. It's a quality 0 to 100, and the default is 50. I like living my life in high fidelity, so I'm going to call it 100, mm-hmm. right? Full quality. So now I'm getting really awesome IntelliSense, not only for the frameworks that I happen to use in my project, but I'm also getting it for all of the plugins that I use. And that gives me kind of, I can be faster, I can be quicker, yeah. I can be more confident actually building out my application. So IntelliSense is cool. And we've had that in Visual Studio forever and a day. So everyone knows what that's good for.
Right.
But let's do something a little bit more,
But to get it in a lightweight text editor like this is very, very
first
cool.
First ever, buddy.
And one of the sweet spots of Visual Studio code, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is Visual Studio code.
Yep.
That
is the most important thing that it can do.
A lot of the editing and debugging goodness of Visual Studio.
Totes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's do something else that's cool. Let's actually invoke a Cordova command from the command line or from the command palette. So I'm doing this mm-hmm. within VS Code. So I don't have to go to that terminal anymore. So now I can just say, you know what? I want to go ahead and run this guy. So I didn't have to go to that from your point of view, nasty, repulsive terminal. I was able to do it.
Oh, I don't think I said repulsive.
You didn't say
it's
repulsive.
Just a preference.
You just did not prefer to go to the command line.
Yes.
And so here we were able to actually do it from directly within the editor.
Right.
And so you'll notice in the background I have my simulator up and running, mm-hmm. and it just launched it directly to the simulator. And here, okay, because we just used the default project, it's just a logo. Yeah. It doesn't actually do much. We haven't added anything to our application yet. Mm-hmm. But you can see that clearly it's working. And here it is. It's just launched. And we've got connecting to the device. It's up and going. So that was cool. Okay, yeah. We didn't have to go to the terminal. That's mm-hmm. something. But let's take that a step further. Let's say that we actually want to debug this guy, right?
Yes.
Debugging is cool.
Debugging is good.
Debugging's good. You want to do that.
Should
work is not a strategy. Now, usually, if I were a regular old Cordova developer who is doing this on my Mac, mm-hmm. I would probably open up the Chrome DevTools. Right. And I would go and I would attach to a running instance of my application. I would use that and I would kind of tinker around with it a little bit. And it would be probably what I would end up debugging is the app bundle from whatever JavaScript framework that I was using. But it would ultimately be what's in the runtime and not necessarily what's back in the source. It's a step removed. And once I've kind of figured out what's going on, I'd go back to my text editor, I'd make a couple changes, I'd do a refresh, I'd hope that everything worked, mm-hmm. and go back and do it again. Well, what if we wanted to remove that extra tool? We wanted to actually bring it into the IDE, just like you get with Visual Studio today, but we wanted to do it in a lightweight text editor. Well, of course, we already know, many of us, that VS Code has built-in debugging tools.
Right.
And so we're just going to leverage those debugging tools to attach to our application. So let's do this. We're going to open up our debugger here. And from here, I've already installed my extension. Don't want to move our guy here. Getting back on there. We've already installed our extension, so we've got a Cordova option that's in here. I'm going to say, let's go to Cordova. Now, it gives me a bunch of different options here in my little kind of deployment target drop-down mm-hmm. window. I can go to an Android emulator, an iOS simulator, lots of different places. Let's actually run on iOS simulator. Hit go gadget debugger. And it's going to launch again here in the background. You'll see here in my output window, it tells us exactly what's going on. We're mm-hmm. configuring for the debug proxy. And sometimes, I will say this, sometimes when it takes a little while for it to launch, you will get this unable to find web view. That's okay. That's totally normal. That's just because the simulator took a while to launch, right? When that happens, don't worry about it. Just close and instead attach to running iOS on simulator. So you'll see that on the back here, it is launched, and so now I can attach to it. Cool. Now, you know in VS Code that you're attached when it turns orange down here, mm-hmm. right? So at this point, I can do things like, I'm going to go back over here. I can set breakpoints, right? So over here, I can set breakpoints. I'll be able to inspect this guy. I can set watches, set variables. Let's actually kind of go back to our debugger here so I can set a watch. So let's actually do this. Let's create a little counter, var counter. We'll just call it var i equals 0. Document dot. What's the method for timer? I always forget. Create. Oh my gosh, I'm totally forgetting the timer thing here. Document dot attach. Oh, man, if only our listeners could in real time reach out to me and say, dude, to create a timer, it is... Oh, well, I've forgotten the actual syntax for a timer at the moment. But, like, you've done debugging before. You know, like, you can actually go, you can inspect, you can, like, look at the variables at runtime, any of that good kind of stuff.
So I ask this question a lot. I'll ask it of you.
Yeah.
So what's your philosophy on where you draw the line between things that you add to Visual Studio Code and things that people might be used to from Visual Studio? So for example, in Visual Studio, I'd get the diagnostic tools and I'd have the ability to, you know, there's edit and continue and there's things, you know, there's lambdas in the immediate window. There's all kinds of things in Visual Studio.
Yeah.
You obviously don't want to bring them all over to Visual Studio Code because then it ceases to be a lightweight text editor.
Sure.
So what's also Visual Studio Code is of course, we understand that many people using it are coming from Visual Studio. That's not the primary audience. It's not the idea isn't to recreate the Visual Studio environment in a lightweight text editor.
Right, right.
So what's your philosophy on that?
So I want to ask a clarifying question.
Yes.
Are you asking me as a product manager or as a developer who just, you know, needs to choose whether or not to use Visual Studio or
VS Code? Asking you as the product manager, the guy building the tools.
Okay. Okay, yeah, cool. So in the end, I believe that Visual Studio is best built, or the kinds of features that I would go in there are people who don't prefer to go to the command line for a lot of their operations. So for example, you were saying earlier, you don't want to have to do Cordova platform add iOS, Cordova platform add Android. You don't want to have to do Cordova plugin add blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to see a list of available, well-tested, well-vetted options. You want to have a certain degree of confidence in, like, everything that you everything you see there within the IDE is at a enterprise scale or enterprise quality, right? If you are a developer who is more comfortable kind of evaluating ecosystem quality on your own, who is more comfortable at a command line working through, like, you know, all of those different options to add platforms, add plugins, configure your project through a terminal window, I'm going to lean more towards letting you kind of run your own show. Whereas in the Visual Studio IDE, I'm going to provide a more curated list of options and a more point and click type of experience. So, for example, within VS Code, we do not attempt in any way to even expose what plugins are available, right? It's up to you as an active participant in the community to go out there and search for them and to vet them yourself and to know what's good and know what's bad. If you are an enterprise or a developer who's working inside of the IDE, Microsoft has already done the work to vet the platforms, vet the plugins, vet every component that you're working with so that you can pull from that kind of curated list and do it with a kind of a point and click attitude.
Right.
Right. So I believe that there are certain features that are universally applicable to every developer, no matter kind of what their preference is. Like everyone needs to be able to set breakpoints.
Right.
Everyone needs to be able to inspect variables at runtime. Everyone needs to be able to, like, get good IntelliSense.
Right.
So those kind of universally applicable features, those belong equally in the IDE and in VS Code as a text editor. So it's really more about how much do you want to rely on your own skills, your own context into kind of the ecosystem, and how much do you want to rely on another development team like the Microsoft product engineering team to help provide a more guided and curated experience for you. Okay. Right?
Is there a user voice set up for
Cordova yet? Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Visual Studio Code as well?
You can, so through user voice, you can go and you can find us, just search for Cordova or mobile tools. For VS Code, we actually ask you to go and submit a feature request through our GitHub.
Okay.
So in fact, let me actually bring it up here real quick.
So it'll be interesting to see over time what types of things people want and where the customers want to draw the line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, in the end, we'll go where customers tell us to go. Yeah. But so far, where customers have told us to go is give us a point-and-click curated experience in VS IDE.
Right.
And VS Code, slim it down. Let me make those choices outside of the text editor. I can go to the web for those kinds of choices and keep my text editor slim down to kind of the bare essentials. And we see the bare essentials today, or what customers are telling us, what developers are telling us, is that the bare essentials are things like command line integration, debugging, IntelliSense, right? So I was going to show you where the GitHub repo is. So if you want to get the extension, you can go to the Visual Studio Marketplace. Here is the before mentioned Taco Bot, right? So click on that guy. From here, you can find a nice link here to support. This will take you to our VS Code Cordova GitHub repo, and here you can file issues.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if you find a bug, if you have a feature request, you have anything like that, we're going to do this in the open source way because this extension is open source itself.
Right.
The whole thing is open source. So heck, if you want to fork it, you could do that. We would much rather you contribute back to the core code. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to go on it on your own, you could totally do that. So that's how you get bug reports, feature requests, support requests. We also have a very, very active community on Stack Overflow. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Stack Overflow, let's actually do that right now. Stack Overflow, and if you go to tags, and here we'll do Visual Studio Cordova, I believe it is. There we go. Our tag is Visual Studio Cordova. So anyone who wants to get the product team's help, and the product team is monitoring this on a daily basis, if you need our help, go to Stack Overflow, and we'll help you.
Cool.
Cool. So that was all about our VS Code release.
Yep.
But at PhoneGap Day, there's another really cool thing that came out that I'd love to share with you.
Sure.
So we have heard from developers ever since we started this journey towards kind of building out better Cordova tooling. We've heard from developers that they love being able to use HTML, CSS, and JavaScript to write their apps. They love it because it allows them to reappropriate their skills as web developers. But there are times when having a native control would be really nice, right? When you want to be able to invoke, let's say, a full screen overlay, or you want to be able to use a native tab control, or you want to be able to use like any of the myriad variety of controls that are available to native iOS developers and native Android developers, right? And so we heard that, we thought about it, we processed it, and we said, I bet we could do something about that. Well, today, what we've got is we got this new experimental Cordova plugin that we've released. It's called the ACE plugin. Right, and I say that this is experimental. It is experimental. It is not what I would call at RTM, like, you know, general availability quality, whatever acronym you want to put. It's not 1.0, right?
Right.
It's 0.1 right now.
Okay.
But there are people that are out there that are using it and that are having a tremendous amount of like enthusiasm around what it enables them to
do. And this is something we wrote.
This is something we wrote.
Okay.
This is 100% Microsoft engineered plugin.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we are certainly looking for feedback on it. We're certainly looking for people to contribute to it. If you think that you find a bug or a feature that's missing and you want to contribute back to it, our product team will vet the check-in, test it.
Is it open source as well?
It's open source as well.
Good.
It's all open source.
Cool.
In fact, you can see right here, it's right on GitHub for the world to see the actual source code, right? So let me show it to you in action so you get an idea about what's going on. So here's what we did. We took, I'm going to bring up the iOS simulator here. Let's see here. And let's device go to my home screen. Come on, here we go. So we took the PhoneGap Day conference application.
Mm-hmm.
which happened to be built using Ionic. For those of you that aren't already familiar with Ionic, Ionic is a web-based control framework built specifically for Cordova that enables you to create controls that look, smell, feel, taste like native controls,
right?
But in the end, they are built using web technologies, not native technologies. And what we did is we added in the ACE plugin. In fact, let me show you kind of where we're doing it in the source code here. So I'm going to go back over here to my Finder, htdocs, phone gap day. And actually, we'll go to code to open this guy up. So file. Close folder. We don't have to save. File, open, phone gap day. So here's the source for this guy. I'm gonna minimize this. And you'll see here that we've added in on plugins. We've got the ACE plugin that's just been added in right there. And here's the cool thing that's happening here. So when you look at ace.js, I've got this little boolean here that says window native UI enabled true, right? And when we toggle this to true, and I've actually already launched it here into my, my FCF notification, my Facebook notification. When you toggle into that, this means that now we are running an Ionic application, but we have substituted some of those web controls for native controls. Let me prove it to you,
Okay. All right?
So I have enabled accessibility on the accessibility options on this running version of the iOS simulator. And so when I click on this little filter guy here, you see this slide-in thing? What you're looking at now is entirely a native control. You know that it's a native control because the accessibility options have been enabled on the device, and you can see that they've got the little accessibility mark that's next to each one of those. If I were using a web control, even if accessibility options were enabled, you would no longer see a little mark here. So all of this, this is the Objective-C version, compiled version of a native control inside of a Cordova app. Likewise, I can go to some other cool places too. Like if I go to, let's see if I go to one of these schedule things, check this out. Okay, I'll admit I did a little bit of a poor job with my styling here. It's running over the edge. I need to fix that in my CSS. But this control that's layered over top, that is a native control. That is not web, like a HTML, CSS, JavaScript control. That is an Objective-C compiled native control that is layered on top of my web view, right? Let's see another cool place. If I go over here into the About section, right, and I hit View My Session Ratings, again, another full page native control, able to slide in over it. And in fact, down here, you see where it says this phone, and then it says iPhone, iPhone simulator. Let's actually see where that's being invoked. So I'm going to go back over into my code here. Let's see here. And I think I've got that one over here in my app. Schedule filter, about page, about JS. So here it is. So we're using the ACE control here, right? And I am directly through JavaScript invoking native APIs. So now from within JavaScript, I don't have to go outside to rely on an external plugin. I can invoke those native APIs directly from within JavaScript itself. So that's how I'm getting
How do you handle this platform differences?
You can fork them, right? So you can either say, you know, write a write an if-then, basically, right? So earlier when we were doing the VS Code example, I showed you that we could use the device plugin to detect if it was iOS or Android. So if I want to handle platform differences, I just say, if iOS, here's the native code for iOS. If Android, native code for Android. If Windows, native code for Windows, and so on down the line.
Right.
Now, clearly, one of the primary value props for Cordova is that you don't have to do all of this forked code, that you get to use shared code across all of them. But sometimes you want an escape hatch. Sometimes you just need to write that one little bit of forked code that says, you know what? I just want to go ahead and quickly access the native code here. This gives you that escape hatch so that you can get to native APIs from within the JavaScript. Let's see how we were invoking some of the UI as well, right? So let's see here. I believe that I'm doing this. See, I've got this myratings.xaml.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who are listening and watching who are already familiar with XAML, congratulations. You get to use XAML in your Cordova project now, right? So this ratings page is schedule. Actually, I think it was back over here. Yeah, view your sessions rating. Mm-hmm. That's this page right here. So this page is being defined as a native page, full page native, as XAML. And here, look at this. The link that I click, the view your session ratings, all that is an anchor tag just linking directly to XAML.
Hmm.
Mind blown, right?
Yeah, so XAML to call the native controls,
to call the native controls,
which aren't XAML,
which
we
basically we've just done a map from the native or from the XAML declaration, right? In the end, that we've used XAML is it's kind of an implementation detail.
Okay,
we could decide to do this via any kind of XML-like markup, right? We just decided that we need something that looks familiar to folks, that gives us a declarative way to say, I want a title bar to go here, I want a list view to go here.
Okay.
That could be done via XAML, that could be done via some abstracted out web component type of syntax.
Mm-hmm.
We use XAML because it was convenient and familiar.
Okay.
It is absolutely a point of feedback that we'd like to receive from listeners is, would it feel more familiar to you if we used, an Ionic web component? Would it look more familiar to you if we used our own abstracted away XML type of syntax? We just wanted to provide developers with a declarative way to say, this control maps to a title bar in iOS and a title bar in Android and a title bar in Windows.
Okay.
This particular bit of markup, and I'll actually go back to my ratings, this corresponds to an app bar button and this corresponds to a list box, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just needed some way to say, here is a platform agnostic way of representing what is a common control across all of the different platforms.
Right.
And so in iOS, it happens to look like this. In Android, or looks like this.
Mm-hmm.
In Android, it's going to look a tiny bit different. You're not going to get the back button up here, and it's not going to be centered. It's going to have more of an Android material design look and feel.
Right.
Same thing for Windows, right?
Yeah.
So what ACE allows you to do is, whether it is imperatively, like we saw, in fact, let's actually see another one, schedule filter, right? Either imperatively, I got to find the actual code here, or actually I think it's in ACE. Put our code down here in ace.js. I'm just going to search on filter. Next, surround the web view. Navigate to the filter page. Here we are. So here, you'll see that we are imperatively declaring each of the controls.
Yeah.
Right? We've got a way of doing that via JavaScript. We've got a way of declaratively doing it via XAML.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got a way of imperatively calling native APIs, if we so desire, through JavaScript as well.
Right.
So this is all new cutting edge stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the great things to see was that Microsoft isn't the only organization trying to solve this problem. When we were at PhoneGap Day in Utah 3 weeks ago, there were three other organizations that were looking for ways to mix and match native controls and native code with web code.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company called Mobify who's got a commercial licensed product called Astro. The folks over at Adobe are also experimenting with ways to mix and match full screen native controls with web controls. And so there's clearly momentum within the industry to find interesting ways to leverage the best of both worlds,
right,
native and web, and hopefully doing it in a way that allows developers to stay in the language where they are most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. It's interesting.
Cool stuff.
So one of the criticisms of the Cordova, the hybrid, if you will, approach is
shut your mouth. There are no criticisms of Cordova.
One of the misguided criticisms is that it's not a native UI. People want native UI. So do you... So here you're calling bits and pieces at a time.
Yeah.
Do you... Could you do the entire UI natively this way?
You know what? You could. I would say you wouldn't want to, though.
Yeah.
I would say that there are places where it makes absolute sense to use web UI,
mm-hmm,
because... Like, that's, it's not going to look any different. Let's, I'm going to take an example here. I happen to have made a few purchases from the haberdashery of Frank and Oak, right? So, just a clothing retailer, mm-hmm, right? And if you look at Frank and Oak at their mobile website versus their mobile application, you look at a product list, and you can imagine this for any product list that's out there in the world, right? Wherever you happen to shop, there's going to be an image of a shirt, and it's going to have a price underneath it, mm-hmm, and a title. And whether that is a mobile web application or that is a native application, it's going to be the same damn UI.
Right. Right?
It's not going to really look much different.
And it's going to take the same length of time, amount of time to download the information that gets displayed.
Exactly. Right. So, you know what? Why not save yourself a little bit of headache? Mm-hmm. Save yourself from having to maintain two different code bases. Use, for that component, make it shared. Make it web across both of them. But then for marquee experiences, like, mm-hmm, your tab control, like your slide-in menu that comes, you know, off from the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've got a settings page or the home page that's got some special cool transitions in it, right? For that, totally. Now you've got that escape hatch. Now you've got that option to bring in native UI for marquee experiences.
Yep.
And then when you've got something that is a long list of shirts and pants, I don't know, or you've got something that, mm-hmm, is plain and simple form data entry, or you've got something that is content that's going to be updated frequently and dynamically, that stuff, heck yeah, use web controls there, because it is a common denominator across all of the different platforms and allows you to share code, ultimately save on maintenance costs,
mm-hmm,
save on time to market, and just avoid redundancy. Like, any of us who have spent a sufficient amount of time building applications, just building technology, building software,
right,
like, I hate to see redundancy in my code, right?
Mm-hmm.
It just annoys the heck out of me. All of that, if you're implementing it once for native and again for web and again for each different version of the native platforms,
yeah,
you've got redundancy in your code. Eliminate that redundancy and fork it only when you need to, mm-hmm, to create spectacular experiences for each platform. The ACE plugin gives you a way of doing that from within Cordova.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
Excellent.
We've got time for one more thing.
One more thing.
One more thing.
All right.
We're not even in an hour yet.
All right. Well, so there is another thing that we've been working on for, I'd say, about the last 4 or 5 months that has just been, like, we released it as a totally experimental feature, but has been burning up in terms of developer enthusiasm as well, and that is CodePush.
Mm-hmm.
So in a previous installment of VS Toolbox.
Previously on Visual Studio Toolbox.
Previously on Visual Studio Toolbox. You and I were talking about unfair advantages of JavaScript applications,
yeah,
compared to native applications. And, like, honestly, there aren't many places where there are unfair advantages for, mm-hmm, JavaScript. Shared code is one of them. But one of the few really important ones is that the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store and the Windows Store,
mm-hmm,
do not allow native applications to just update willy-nilly. right? You've got to go through a kind of an approval process, if you will, right? It's got to, you got to submit it to the store, and some engineer sitting in a cubicle probably somewhere has got to do a manual approval process to say that that can go up to the store. And there are lots of really good reasons for that. Right. You know, it gives us all a, certainly it helps us in terms of security, and it also helps vet the overall quality of the app ecosystem. But it also means that when you want to deliver an update to fix a critical bug, you may have to wait 3 days if you're lucky, two weeks if you're not, maybe even more, in order to get that update out there. And that's really painful, and that really disrupts your kind of release momentum and your agility as a development team.
It also leads to a rash of negative comments, which even though you have fixed the issue, stick around. So people who now go to the store to look at your app see a week where nothing worked, and you think, oh, crap, the app.
I'm not going to install that. They don't get my 99 cents. Right. Yeah, right? So it so happens that in order to enable scenarios where, I don't know, let's use Yelp as an example, right? Clearly, Yelp has got a lot of content on there in the form of user comments and in terms of up-to-date information about retailers and restaurants and things like that. They need to be able to update frequently and dynamically without having to update their entire application.
And this is content that is part of the app, not the most recent review where you actually have to go retrieve it.
Yeah,
this is the description of the restaurant or whatever, or the venue.
Yeah, this is content that is packaged with the application itself. So in order to enable scenarios where that content needs to be updated frequently, the stores have, in their infinite wisdom, said, you know what? You cannot update native applications. You know, anything that's compiled, you've actually got to go through a store submission process. But for web technologies, for HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, you can update that at your own discretion without having to submit to the store. You can do that dynamically through the pneumatic tubes of the internet, right? And so it so happens that there are three technologies out there today, or three widely adopted ones, that make use of JavaScript to render their application, both from a business logic perspective and ultimately from a UI layer as well. Cordova is one of those, React Native another, and then from our friends over at Telerik, I never can figure out where the pronunciation or the emphasis lands, have NativeScript, right?
Okay.
And so CodePush is a Azure-hosted service that allows developers to upload a package, let's say, you know, your Cordova package, right? And say, you know what? Every time that this app starts up, or whatever, you know, when you click on the update button, it could be at any particular event, go ping the cloud and say, is there an app update available, right? And then CodePush, sitting out there in the servers of Azure, says, hey, yeah, I've got a new version of that app available. Download it. You download what essentially amounts to a zip file with all of your assets, your HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and images, and anything else that you're going to put in there. And then it pulls that down, it extracts it, and then it replaces your old app, all of the JavaScript, all the web assets, with the new assets. And then bada bing, bada boom, you have just completely updated your entire application with a new application with an update. Now, you of course need to do this responsibly. The app stores,
or have massive amounts of fun on April Fool's Day,
or risk getting yourself kicked out of the stores, which is really what you're doing.
Oh yeah, I guess.
So
there's always downsides.
There's always a downside.
It's humor. Someone could get hurt.
it's all fun and games till someone gets their developer license revoked.
Right.
Right. So the key here, in order to respect the policies, you just need to make sure that your app, it doesn't change from a an expense report app into a a fart app or something like that. Like, you know, be civil about it. Make sure that you're still maintaining the intent of the app. Make sure that the app isn't fundamentally changing from one category to another. But so long as you are, you know, doing things like releasing new features, making a bug fix, that kind of thing. And this allows us to start releasing mobile applications at the speed of the web. So if you want to make updates 2, 3, 4 times a day, buddy, you can do it if that's what it takes for you to achieve your business goals. Right? And CodePush also builds into it the ability to, and this is just kind of got a, like a quick starter process for you, but CodePush also builds into it the ability to, if a, let's say the zip file doesn't extract correctly, like let's say that there's some kind of error, right? You can back out of that. And you can always fall back to your pre-installed version. So there's all sorts of catches that we have introduced to make sure that you as a developer can remain, safe and secure, knowing that your consumers are using a version of the application that still works.
Right.
So that's CodePush. Now, much to your chagrin, you do have to use it from the command line. It is not yet integrated into Visual Studio as a point-and-click experience because it is kind of in beta experimental mode. But we do have developers, actually a relatively large number of developers, who are already using this in production apps, both out of the React Native community and out of the Cordova community. Okay. And so if you are one of those developers, sign up for it. We are very, very active in the React community on Discourse, on in the Cordova community on Slack channels. And so we would love to help you bring CodePush into your app and really kind of provide handholding, all the handholding you need to make sure that developers can be successful with it. Because our intent is to make this a fully supported product eventually.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Man. Yeah.
Very sweet. All right.
Dude, I truly enjoyed my time sharing with you.
Yeah, thanks for going on the show.
That's
awesome stuff. Can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah. So if anyone listening wants to find out more, you can ping me on Twitter, at Ryan J. Salva. You can find the product team on Stack Overflow under the Visual Studio Cordova tag. You can also find an enormous amount of documentation, and we're adding samples every day at, I'll just go to it for you real quick, taco.visualstudio.com, where we've got a lot of great documentation and samples here. So please come visit us on the web and let us know your successes, your failures, your tears of joy and pain.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
Come on. Absolutely. Thanks.
All right.
Until next time.
We'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox. Thank you.